Oh, I hope that doesn't go on there. A manifestation of Presbyterianism in that if I were Joel Osteen, we would be teaching what I had planned to teach or what I had come up with. And actually, what we're going to do for a few weeks is what the session has, not that I was not in agreement with them, has kind of dictated that we do. And that is, together, I say we, not they, thought that in connection with the sermon series that we do every year, not that we'll do this every year in CE, but this year in connection with that sermon series, refocusing on what is our task as the church and who we are and as a covenant body, that we would take a few weeks and we would talk about the vision statement of our church. And today, knowing that today's the first installment of that, and I don't think that everybody knew or even thought about going through, because you didn't know we were going to do this, reading through the vision statement, today will be introductory. And we won't look, we might get into a little bit of the content of it, but I want this to be kind of an introductory discussion about the whole concept of a vision statement. And talk about what ours is, how we structured it and why, and its place for us and its usefulness for us. One of the reasons that the session wanted to do this is because we spent a lot of time thinking about our vision statement and producing it. And we have from time to time thought about it and referred to it and passed it out and things, but we probably have not used that as a tool as regularly and as effectively as we could have or should have. And so we want to try to do that. And so this is sort of an effort to move more in that direction. So let's start by asking this question. When we talk about vision, it's a vision statement. And churches have vision statements. By the way, we did a vision statement, and when we did our vision statement, we were in line with a trend. As you know, probably know, church planting has become really a big deal in evangelical circles for a lot of reasons, some of which are good and some of which are not so good, surprisingly enough. I'm not going to go into that. But church planting is a good thing. And in church planting, it's the concept of a vision statement is a very important component in that. And but it's not just in church planting. I think church planting has been a lot of the impetus toward established churches going back and thinking, okay, what is our vision? Do we have a vision statement? Is it written down? And for I've been here 18 years. I can't believe it. I blinked and it went by. But that's still, I don't see why it would ever change. This would ever change. That's still considered to be an essential thing, an essential step in either beginning a church or increasing the effectiveness of the ministry of a church. And so, but the reason I mention all that is that there are a lot of different conceptions, I think, in people's minds of what a vision statement is, what it entails. And as I've encountered other churches, talked with other pastors, looked at vision statements as I've visited churches, sometimes they'll, the vision statement, as ours is, will be printed somewhere in the bulletin that they hand out on Sundays. And so it's interesting to compare that. And it's always interesting for me to ask when I look at a church's vision statement, what is it that they're trying to accomplish What were they trying to accomplish when they formulated their vision statement? Why did they do that? And it's interesting because there are some overt motivations and some intentional and stated motivations, and those tend to be rather programmatic and typical of what should be said about why we want a vision statement. And then there's some kind of under-the-table motivations for a vision statement that are just that aren't stated. But that I think if you've been through this process, you can kind of read between the lines and see this is why this church formulated this vision statement. Now, I'll go into that because I think it's important for us to ask ourselves some searching questions about why do we have a vision statement. How should we use our vision statement? Okay, but let's talk about vision. When we talk about vision, what are we talking about? It's kind of a trendy sort of it's something you watch The Office. Michael might have somebody come and tell the office staff about vision. It's almost kind of a Dale Carnegie type of thing, business psychology, mass psychology, organizational psychology. The Bible, is often quoted in churches in this regard. For lack of a vision, the people perish. And I think that verse is grossly taken out of context to quote it and put it in the context of these types of discussions. And so I'm not sure that we can quote chapter and verse on a church having a vision statement. That having been said, I think that it's very, that the concept and the rationale for it is biblical. So what are we talking about? We talk about vision. I want us to have, that's introduction. It's introductory. So I want us to sort of have a dialogue about this. And I want you to get into this and engage with it so that you begin to think about these things with the goal to owning our vision statement ultimately. That's what we're after. What are we talking about? We talk about vision. I can hear those gears turning. Okay. Yeah. Now you mentioned several things. Tony was typically comprehensive in his answer. Does anybody else? Let me put those down before we forget all of them. He talked about, okay, we talk about vision, we're talking about an idea of our identity. Okay, so who we are. Who are we? Then our purpose. Now correct me if I don't get everything that you said, Tony. Going along with that, what we're trying to accomplish, is that what you said? Or? Okay. But there was something in between purpose and goals, I thought. Okay, yeah. Okay, means... And if it's okay, I'm going to substitute a different term, methods. Or we might say, for a church, we might say program, our overall program, right? All right, now that's what Tony said. Anybody else have something to add or anything you think should be added to our vision? I would add only one thing. And this is something that's not often incorporated into the vision statement, but it can be. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, Rose, if I forget, remind me to come back to that because I want you to flesh that out, what you mean by that. Because I think that could be really important. Okay, so motivation. Anything else? Okay, now that relates to what I'm getting at. I want to say that, you know, it really, in terms of chronology, it kind of comes up here. But it's the context. In other words, if we're a group and we have a purpose, that purpose is forged in terms of an environment or a need. We must think that there's a need for an organization or a group like ours. Okay, and we're just talking about any group. And if we're talking about, this has to inform this, doesn't it? The context has to inform our purpose. We have a group that's in a situation, right? And so our group is responding to some type of situation or some type of, and that includes the environment. And that's what I'm calling the context. Okay? All right? So we're not going to flesh this out yet. Okay? Anything else? Okay? So, why is it important to flesh this out in terms of these components? What happens if you don't really think about this? So we have the church. And we just kind of, churches meet on Sunday and we have a worship service and just kind of what churches do, and we preach, and I grew up in the church. Didn't you grow up in the church? Or a lot of people grew up in the church. We want people who didn't to come. Somehow we'll try to get them to come and join us, and we'll have a church. I want to say that most people, and I don't think this is an overstatement, most people who go to church never think about vision in this sense any more than that. So what happens if you don't think about it? If you don't think about it intentionally, what happens? What's the effect? What's the result of that?
You lose focus or direction. There's not going to be a purpose, or there's nothing intentional about what you're doing. So whether we're preaching, teaching, mission, should all tie back to our vision, and then we stay on track. If not, just kind of go here and there and all over.
Okay, now you said a couple of different things, and I'm gonna kind of parse them out. One is you said you don't accomplish anything, and that's the old principle of, right, aim at nothing and you're sure to hit it. If you're not shooting for anything, you're not going to accomplish anything. You know, if you have a football team, what's your focus? Is your focus to gain the most yards, or is it to score the most points? Sometimes those two things don't go together in a given situation. Sometimes the team that gains the most yards isn't the team that wins because they focus on creating turnovers or something like that. But the goal is to win. And if a football team has that very clearly in its mind, it does what it takes to win in a given situation. not to be impressive, necessarily, or, you know, you could have a number of other goals that take you off of the main goal. Okay, so you don't accomplish your goal. Well, what else could happen? I think another thing you said was, there's no goal. That may be true, that people aren't thinking in terms of a goal or purpose. But what else could be true? And this is when it gets ugly in churches. Okay, when the goal is not specified, the goal can be distorted, so it can become too narrow. It could also become too broad, right? What else? Yeah. Yeah. You have a group of people with no unity, right? Because this person comes to the church and they have this goal in mind. The church should be doing this, or the church should be accomplishing this. And this person over here has this goal in mind. And another person over here has still yet another goal in mind. And then you can't cooperate to accomplish the goals because everybody's working in different directions. Or worse than that, when it really gets ugly, is when you have separate agendas and people are working for their agendas and there's conflict. And a lot of times that conflict is under the surface. It's not overt. People don't talk about it, but they talk about that person, what that person is doing and why that's not right, and they're talking to this person over here, and people are trying to build coalitions that are opposed to each other in the church. Now, I can, without commenting on it, I will tell you we've experienced that at Christ the King Presbyterian Church. And it wasn't pleasant. And it's never pleasant. And that's why vision statements and talking about vision and communicating vision and consistently inculcating vision into what we teach and what we do is so important. It's vital if you're going to have a healthy church. These things have to be identified, talked about, and implemented. And you have to recruit people to a vision. And that's why, for us, one thing that we have to say as a basic principle is our vision has to be biblical. It cannot be our sort of intuitive or our rational idea of what people need, and we're going to meet that need. Now, you know, I know churches that have forged their vision out of that type of question. Our vision is this because look at this and look at this, and it's stuff out there. Now, that's not necessarily bad, but the first thing we have to think about if we're recruiting people, because there are lots of needs, the first thing we have to think about is, who are we as God defines us? And what is our task as God has called us to do something? The reason that's so important is because there are, if you didn't know this, there are lots of different conceptions about what the mission of the church is. And even what the church is in itself, what its identity is. Who is the church? What is the church? Our theology comes into that. Hopefully that's biblical. Okay? But that's the thing. The bedrock first thing we have to say is that when we're trying to figure out this stuff and when we're trying to recruit people to the vision, the first thing we have to say is the reason you should buy into this vision is because it's in line with what God has revealed. It's in line with what God says. That's why. And you can formulate a lot of reasons. People can talk about a lot of reasons why this or that we ought to be doing this or that. And they're not all bad reasons. They're good reasons. But what we want to say is, can you, well, the question we always want to ask is, can you tie what you're saying about what we should be doing and how we should proceed to what God has said? Because that's more important than anything. That trumps any other consideration. And it does for us. We're committed to that. Okay? So, alright. Any other ideas about why vision is important? What happens when you don't have a vision? Okay. Criterion for evaluation. Okay. I have people when I go, when I was overseas for the last 2 weeks, people would ask me, you're a pastor, so, and they would ask me about my church. And one of the things they ask me, they ask you this at Presbyterian, when I go to Presbyterian meetings. People that I meet out there and I tell, you know, that invite to our church or I tell about our church, they ask the same question. How's your church doing? How's your church doing? Now, how do you answer that question? In order to answer that question, you have to have some kind of an idea of what should be happening in the church, right? You have to have an idea of what's ideal. And really, the way you answer a question like that, how's your church doing, is you measure where your church is against this understanding of an ideal. And the ideal includes all of this. Right? So, if you don't have a vision, then you really can't evaluate how you're doing. And so, you tend to look to certain artificial standards. Like, here's the easy one for us. And this sounds like, wow, you know, this is self-serving. And I don't mean it to be. Because, you know, we're obviously not the biggest church in town. Not close. We're a small church. And a lot of people would look at that and say, well, if you're not growing in numbers, or you're not really large, then you must not be doing too well. And here's the thing. I don't think that that's entirely wrong thinking. I think that our ideal is we want to be growing numerically. Okay? But as we're assessing our church, you know, for some people that's the only criterion, right? If you got a bunch of people, and that's really the goal, get people into the pews. And if you got a bunch of people, your church is doing well. If you don't, it's not. And most people, or a lot of people, don't think past that. That's their criterion. Now, what I would say is, how well our church is doing has a lot more to do with, are we accomplishing these things? And what I would say is, the way you look at numbers is, how are numbers a part of this? But we can be accomplishing this in ways that in many ways, that go beyond numbers, that aren't a matter of numbers. In fact, I would say some of the most important ways aren't involved with numbers. Although I would say that this is involved with numerical growth to some extent. Now, that's a different perspective, but it helps you to sort through where are we really. And then that helps you to understand, all right, what do we need to do? Anything else? What else happens if you... and I think y'all kind of said it. There's one other thing that I want to say about it. That I want to emphasize. What would you say is the... if you had to name books that come to your head that have been prominent in evangelical circles in the last 20 years, what are some books? that Christians have published that have been really big? You knew where I was going, didn't you, Rose? Yeah. Anybody ever heard of the Purpose-Driven Life? Why'd that book become so big? Because it's really just common sense management principles. It's what we're talking about. It's again, aim at nothing and you're sure to hit it. We have to be purpose-driven. Most churches today are not purpose-driven. That's why that book, oh wow, I've never heard this before, this is great. Well, it's really, a lot of people have said this. What he did was he popularized it for what Rick Warren did is he popularized it for a Christian audience. But the essential message of that book, just in the title, is, he said the purpose of life. You could do the purpose, he's come out with other things, the purpose-driven this, the purpose-driven that, purpose-driven church. If you don't think in terms of purpose of your life, then you're just kind of aimlessly going through life and being buffeted by whatever circumstance hits you, and hey, that's no way to live. You want to have a purpose for your life. The church wants to have a purpose. What happens with most churches is most churches are activities-driven, not purpose-driven. In other words, the activities are driving the tail's wagging the dog. We have activities because that's the way we've always done it. You know that, right? That's the way we've always done it. This tradition. You know how hard it is to overcome tradition, especially in established churches. The church isn't like I remember it anymore, and we have nostalgia starts coming in. And what does all that avoid? It avoids the conversation of, look, what are we about? And it avoids asking the question, is what we're doing now, is our program or our activities accomplishing our purpose? And a lot of times they're not. They're not accomplishing the purpose of the church. But hey, we're just as happy as pigs in slop because this is what we've always done and this is what we enjoy. But we don't think in terms of purpose. What purpose does God have for us? Are we accomplishing His purpose? And within biblical parameters, some things God says are sine qua non. Some things are things that you have to have. And if you don't have these things, you don't have a church by definition. So we're never going to say, for instance, when I was in seminary, it became very popular in communication theory to say that preaching is not the way to communicate the gospel. That communication theory is all about dialogue. And so what we ought to do is we ought to, in churches, abandon preaching as a method. Well, we don't have that option because God's commanded us to preach. And He says God has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to communicate the gospel. He has said this is an integral part of what you should be doing because this is how I work. So that's a non-negotiable. We're never going to stop preaching. Okay? We're never going to stop teaching. But we can ask, and we have asked when we planted this church, the formula in, particularly in the South, we could argue about whether Oklahoma is the South or not. I know people in Oklahoma who would swear that Oklahoma is the South, and I know other people who, like myself, who are not so sure. But whether that's good or bad, I'm not going to say. But in the South, the formula was, you have a morning worship, an evening worship, Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's it. That's kind of the core of your program of your church. And I can remember Doug Kelly, one of my favorite professors at RTS, and in one of his classes, you'd never guess this guy had translated Calvin from the French and produced editions of scholarly works, that people consult. If you saw him on the side of the road, street corner, you might think it's just some hayseed from South Carolina, but brilliant. He's brilliant. But I still remember him saying, "Now, Ian, don't take a call to church that doesn't have a Wednesday night prayer meeting." And now, you know, I think about that today, and I think what he was saying was really valid. Because what he was saying is, if a church doesn't have anybody that's interested in prayer, then you got a problem. And you need to incorporate prayer into your church. But it doesn't have to be on Wednesday night. There's nothing sacred about Wednesday night, necessarily. But I think I understand what he's saying, the spirit of what he's saying. But again, it's like, okay, we got these structures in our head of what church looks like. If we examine the Scriptures, a lot of things that we think are set in stone aren't necessarily set in stone. And so we need to be asking ourselves, and see, here's where this comes in. Context. Where are we? Where's our society? What are people like? What's the significance of the fact that we live in a postmodern age now? What's the significance of the fact that electronic media and social media are so prominent now in people's lives? Listen, it makes a difference, and I have to, you know, I'm afraid a lot of the time that I'm from a former era. I remember when there weren't any cell phones, and it was different. And I've had to, you know, and I still haven't completely adjusted. You know, I haven't even adjusted. Don't laugh. To the fact that we have email. Yeah. I mean, but that's our world. That's our world. And so what does that mean for who, what we do as a church and our program? And so, you see, this, the methods and our program is, you know, the purpose and goals and identity are what determine how we get from this to this, how we get from where our culture is, what its needs are, to what our program should be, what methods we use, what activities we have, when we have them, those types of things. And all of this is involved in vision. Now, my whole purpose today has been to help you to wrestle with, to see how important this is. I hope you're starting to see how important it is. Because if we don't talk about these things, then we're not going to be effective as a church. And the question is, do we want to be effective? God's called us to be who we are for a reason. Well, we can't serve God unless we think about these things. Whether vision's mentioned, whether you can quote chapter and verse on vision or not, these are just practical, common sense realities. Okay? Now, before what I want to do before we finish today is I want to sketch out what the structure of our vision statement is. What are the parts of it, and what part do those parts play? Okay? But before I do that, does anybody have any comments about what we said today? Anything on your mind? Any statement you want to make? Danny? Dale? I'm sorry. Cam? Well, you know how Jody is.
but you know what I mean? And you
Yeah. Yeah. And, I hear you. And, but I'm going to throw it back at you. I must say, can you help us with that? Because one of the things we need to have is a discussion. I mean, that's a constant issue. And I began today, I think it's just before y'all came in. We have, you know, gone back and forth. We've come at the vision statement periodically, and we've said vision statement's important. We say it's important. We talk about vision statement, and then we just kind of let it kind of slide. But what does it mean to consistently to have this before people? How do we do that? Well, I'm asking the same question. We're asking the same question. Help us out as we go through this. Help us out with what are ways that we can put this consistently before people, and so that they're thinking about it, and they're thinking purposefully as they're thinking about their involvement in the church, and if they're a leader, planning, and you know, all of that. Okay, yeah, Tony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that part of what you said made me think of something else I want to say. We spent a lot of time on the vision statement. And I think we've only made one modification to it since the original version. Now, that could speak well of our efforts, or it could speak not so well of our efforts. I think the vision statement, as it stands, is a good statement. And it is the responsibility of the elders as those who rule in the church and who lead the church and shepherd the church to forge that vision and communicate it to the people. However, one of the reasons why this talking about it and keeping it before people is so important is that our vision should, it should be able to be refined. And that refining process is not just a matter of the session periodically thinking, how can we make this better? Do we need to make any changes? Not just the session, but the people in the church contributing to that, suggesting things, saying, hey, you know, now not that we're going to be revising it every week because of everybody's whim about I don't like the way this is worded and things like that. I mean, you can really go down the rabbit hole on that. So we're not going to be doing that, okay? But we good leadership understands, if it's good leadership, it understands that all wisdom is not deposited there. That there's wisdom to be gained from the whole body. And so it's important for you to be wrestling with these things, not just the session. It's important for you to be thinking about the vision statement so that you can say to us, hey, have you thought about this? And especially one place where the implementation of our vision needs constant refining and constant change is this right here, because our environment's constantly changing. Our culture's constantly changing. And so our main purpose and goals are going to be modified much less than our understanding of the demographics in which we do ministry, and then of our methods and programs. Our methods and programs ought to be changing in order to meet changing environments, changing needs, the nature of people, what people are like, how do we attract people, how do we communicate effectively with people, all that ought to be shifting to some degree because of where people are. And how we meet people, and how we communicate effectively to people, and how we reach people. Okay? So, help us. Okay? Help us. As we're going through this exercise, help us think through, how do we get this before people consistently? How do we get people thinking about this? If you have ideas, we want to hear them. Okay? That's an invitation. Please. Okay, we got 5 minutes.
Hey, Mike, can I ask you a couple things real quick?
Yeah.
Playing along with what Mike said, we want you guys to spend time in this vision statement. I wish the whole congregation was here because I think this is vitally important. Playing off of everything Mike just said, we think that you ought to spend time in that. I still, even though I was part of the process from the beginning, I look at that vision statement almost every week. And the reason why I think we have earned the right, I'm just kind of throwing it out there and being honest with you. The reason why I think we have earned the right to ask you all to spend time in it is because of how much time we did. I want to say that that took us, it was somewhere between 6 to 8 months to build. It was done here. It was spent a lot of time at Mike's house. It was done across the table. Bibles open, shifting statements back and forth. What do you think? How does this read? Well, this is good. Let's flip over here. Let's compare it to what Paul's saying over here, and so on and so forth. There was some blood and sweat. I don't think we had any tears that I can recall. But there was...
Only after.
There was a lot put into this. And the reason why, and Mike mentioned the one change, the reason why the one change was made, it was because a member of the session going through that came up with something here, and this is years later after we developed it, came up with something that, you know what, after going through this, here's what I think might be a hole.
Come on, Danny, don't say a member of the session. It was Danny.
But you know what, whenever it was mentioned, there were other parts of the session that were all other elders that said, you know what, I've been thinking the same thing. Now, that's not just meant to happen within the session of CTK. That's also to happen within you. So playing off of what Mike said, we encourage you, if you're not in this monthly, I encourage you to be in it weekly, to be looking at it and find the areas where it needs to be improved, things that we have overlooked, as we have already done. The second thing is, as you're looking at this, the question I think it would be reasonable for it to pop up in your mind, well, what's the difference between the vision statement and Scripture? Really, the answer, in my mind, there shouldn't be any difference. Our vision statement ought to automatically drive you to the Scripture. And that's important for this reason. As Mike was talking about, I think, earlier, one of the purposes of unity or of vision is to drive unity. And that means all the way, not just from accomplishing the Great Commission, but that also even goes to the point of what color are we going to paint the walls and how are we going to weed the flower bed. The reason why is because that means there is encounter with each other. And encounter with each other inherently means there's going to be some conflict. There's going to be some difference of opinion. Well, because our vision statement is so attached to Scripture, that means the vision statement also has something to say to you about how we interconnect with one another. And does the Scripture not say that part of the way the unbelieving world comes to know Christ is how by we, the way we interact? It does. It does. So what I'm trying to drive at, just trying to play off what Mike said, this vision statement is vitally important. If it has been sitting in a drawer somewhere for a year or two, please pull it out. Please share it with other people of CTK that are not a part of this particular gathering, because it is vitally important that we all be on the same page, because this will help drive us through a lot of conflict.
Well, that dovetails into how I was going to conclude, but before I do, I just want to say, if you want to make a comment about what color the walls are painted, talk to Danny, not me. And if you want to talk about weeding a flower bed, talk to Dale, not me. Okay, I'm just kidding.
If you want to talk about how pushy Jody is, I have some things to say.
Whoa.
And if you want to
talk
about
God, yeah. Right. Real quick, Ron. I wish I could say we have. We try to do it every year. At the first of the year, we try to do something in a preaching series that addresses some of these fundamental things. But we have not been as consistent as we should. Yeah. But that's when we've done it. Yeah, that's especially in the last few years. It's been a kind of a policy, but not in Christian education, just through preaching, and you can't address everything in a short sermon series. Really, you can't be comprehensive. So.
And it's the human divine conversation that's going on in the sermon, but as far as a dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a good forum, yeah.
As well as any departments, the meetings for various departments.
Yeah.
That needs to be incorporated. Because we have the same problem at work, government agencies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Twice a year, you're about
Yeah.
Try to get it out of the individual where we dialogue. And I've been looking at how churches do business, and there's the divine human conversation, and then we have to have the conversations among ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to be, like I found out, been fighting now through my old age. It has to be on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You have to keep it in front of you.
Yeah.
Journal, whatever. I have to keep things in front of you on a regular basis.
Right. Well, Danny said, dust off your copy. Most of you probably... I don't know if most of you have a copy. So what we're going to do, this was introductory because I knew that everybody wouldn't have it necessarily before them or have read it recently at least. So we're going to have Jim send you everybody in the church an electronic copy early this week. And so you'll have that at least. You can print it out if you want to. And remember, the purpose and mission are on the wall with some scripture references. When you walk in the door, so you can look at that, and that's the heart of it. Rose. Okay, what's in the bulletin is a synopsis that I came up with. That's a very succinct statement. It's much shorter than what you see on the wall. And as we go into it, we'll go through the synopsis, and I'll say why I think that's really important to have something really at a glance you can look at and kind of get a grasp of what we are. But yeah, that's the synopsis. And there, like I say, we didn't do it today; we didn't have time. But there's several components. There's purpose, mission, goals, principles, or values. All of those are important components. And so we'll talk about each one of those components, why they're important, and what's the rationale behind them as we're going through it. Okay? All right. Hello, hello. Morning.